With some care, he took a small glass from his store under the counter and let a few splashes of the dark, golden liquid escape from the tap. He looked at it thoughtfully in the lamplight, turned the glass around methodically, sniffed it a few times, and tossed its contents back in one swallow. His face remained unchanged, although his eyes went moist and his throat wobbled somewhat. His wife and Esk watched him as a thin beading of sweat broke out on his forehead. 10 seconds passed, and he was obviously out to break some heroic record. There may have been steam curling out of his ears, but that could have been a rumour. His fingers drummed a strange tattoo on the bar top. At last he swallowed, appeared to reach a decision, turned solemnly to Esk and said,
"Hallish gnish sag ish ogush."
His brow wrinkled as he ran the sentence past his mind again and made a second attempt. He gave up. His wife snorted and took the glass out of his unprotesting hand. She sniffed it. She looked at the barrels, all 10 of them. She met his unsteady eye. In a private paradise for two, they soundlessly calculated the selling price of 600 gallons of triple-distilled White Mountain Peach Brandy and ran out of numbers. Mrs. Skiller was quicker on the uptake than her husband. She bent down and smiled at Esk, who was too tired to squint back. It wasn't a particularly good smile, because Mrs. Skiller didn't get much practice.
"How'd you get in here, little girl?"
she said, in a voice that suggested gingerbread cottages and the slamming of big stove doors.
"I got lost from Granny."
"And where's Granny now, dear?" Clang went the oven doors again, and it was going to be a tough night for all wanderers in metaphorical forests.
"Just somewhere, I expect."
"Would you like to go to sleep in a big feather bed, all nice and warm?"
Esk looked at her gratefully, even while vaguely realising that the woman had a face just like an eager ferret, and nodded. "You're right. It's going to take more than a passing woodchopper to sort this out." Granny, meanwhile, was 2 streets away. She was also, by the standards of other people, lost. She would not see it like that. She knew where she was. It was just that everywhere else didn't. It has already been mentioned that it is much harder to detect a human mind than, say, the mind of a fox. The human mind, seeing this as some kind of a slur, wants to know why. This is why. Animal minds are simple and therefore sharp. Animals never spend time dividing experience into little bits and speculating about all the bits they've missed. The whole panoply of the universe has been neatly expressed to them as things to A. mate with, B. eat, C. run away from, and D. rocks. This frees the mind from unnecessary thoughts and gives it a cutting edge where it matters. Your normal animal, in fact, never tries to walk and chew gum at the same time. The average human, on the other hand, thinks about all sorts of things, around the clock, and on all sorts of levels, with interruptions from dozens of biological calendars and timepieces. There's thoughts about to be said, and private thoughts, and real thoughts, and thoughts about thoughts, and a whole gamut of subconscious thoughts. To a telepath, the human head is a din. It's a railway terminus with all the tannoys talking at once. It is a complete FM waveband, and some of those stations aren't reputable. They're outlawed pirates on forbidden seas who play late-night records with limbic lyrics. Granny, trying to locate Esk by mind magic alone, was trying to find a straw in a haystack. She was not succeeding, but enough blips of sense reached her through the heterodyne wails of 1,000 brains all thinking at once to convince her that the world was, indeed, as silly as she'd always believed it was. She met Hilter at the corner of the street. She was carrying her broomstick, the better to conduct an aerial search. With great stealth, however, the men of Ahulan were right behind Stay Long Ointment, but drew the line at flying women. She was distraught.